This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'll tell you, in some ways, I just sit here and marvel at the Pirates. It is a sight to behold. It has to be the worst start when you combine on and off the field in the team's 144-year history. It just has to be. You know of the incidents off the field, and I'm glad, really glad, obviously, that the kid who fell off the outfield wall seems to be doing well in his recovery. But that was just mind-blowing that something like that would happen amidst this. And then you had, well, you had everything we know that's happened other than that off the field. You had them replacing the iconic number 21 on the Clemente wall with a Philly-based cocktail can. You had the fact that people's bucko bricks, memento bricks, dedicated to family members largely, were found in a recycling bin in Reserve Township. And you had a team usher beat a fan with a belt the other day, and the team is on pace to have its lowest win total ever in a 162-game season. Other than that, limits, things are going rather well.
Smoothly.
Yeah. They're 12-26, which amazingly...
That sounds unfathomable that they're 12-26.
It really does.
I mean, seriously.
Limits. It's the same record as they had in year one.
2020 COVID year.
In year one, which was clearly, we're going to tear this whole thing down to the studs and rebuild it the same way Neil Huntington did.
They went 19-41 in 60 games. And 60 games, we're told, is that barometer by a lot of people of how they could be judged. If they're 19-41 again...
Well, what does it matter now? They're 12-26. They might be 19-41. All they do is lose. But the fact that they're regressing, they're the same through 36, but their winning percentage now is worse than a 19-41 winning percentage. And now they're trying to win.
Trying.
They were trying to lose then and doing a hell of a job of it, I might add. This guy, Ben Cherington, is headed for his third 100 loss season, and it would absolutely be four if 2020 wasn't cut short by COVID.
No doubt.
He would have four 100 loss seasons in 6 years, which prompted a column I wrote today that Ben Cherington is the worst general manager in Pittsburgh sports history. That's the headline. And I can make that case, Limits, and I think I can make it fairly solidly. Listen, we all know that the problem starts at the top, Bob Nutting. Okay, everybody in the world knows that. We've acknowledged that roughly 8 trillion times on this show. And so have you in the stands, and so have you wherever you are, and so has Limits in the booth. We know that. But Neil Huntington won here with the same financial constraints other teams win on puny payrolls. So while the problem begins at the top with the guy who doesn't spend enough and who hired Ben Cherington, that hardly absolves Ben Cherington. There's a lot of blame left for the GM. So I got curious. Who has ever done a worse job around here as a GM, Limits?
I'm glad you asked.
Thank you. We've had, according to, there's a great site out there called RetroSeasons.com. Listen to this. We've had among our three major sports teams, Steelers, Pirates, Penguins, 44 general managers over 201 seasons, stretching back to the Pittsburgh Alleghenies of 1882. And you know who their beat writer was.
Mr. Ronald Cook.
Yes.
Yes, he was. He was the beat writer.
He was. Yes. That's when he broke in, Ron did, with the 82 Pittsburgh Alleghenies. So 44 general managers over 201 combined seasons in the history of Pittsburgh sports. Okay. So I will quickly tell you some others who might be in the conversation, as they say, with Cherington. First, I'll tell you that Cherington has a 4.11 career winning percentage here.
Oof.
He hasn't come close to a winning season. He hasn't come close to the playoffs, obviously. And like I said, he should be right now on pace for his fourth 100-loss season. There is not a single Cherington-developed player in the lineup, at least not one who's any good or even average. Think about that miracle. And they're on pace to win their fewest games, 51, that they have ever won in a 162-game season. I'll give you a second to digest all of that because it's miraculous. Okay? Now, who else is in contention for the worst general manager ever in Pittsburgh sports among the 44? Who have held that title across 201 seasons. Well, in terms of winning percentage, and I'm going to knock out anybody who had like a 1 or 2 year tenure. May I do that,
Limits? That's fair, yeah.
One of those was Dan Rooney, who served as the Steelers GM in 1969 and 70. He went 6-22, but he hired Chuck Knoll. Cherington hired Derek Shelton. Plus, Dan Rooney went on to become, you know, one of the most successful and influential NFL executives who has ever lived.
Hall of Famer, six-time champ.
Yeah, I'm not predicting that for Cherington's future, I don't think, whether he's in baseball or football. So I'm certainly, I'm not going with 1 or 2 year tenures. For me, I drew the line, you had to have managed a team in this city for at least 3 years, okay? So keep in mind as I move along, that Cherington's winning percentage is 4.11. He's never had a winning season and never made the playoffs. Jack Riley had a rough run in his first stint as Penguins general manager. 4.03 winning percentage. But Malzi, I mean Limits, that was with an expansion team. I think that gives him a little break there. Plus, he came back in his second run and bested Cherington in winning percentage and playoff appearances, which is to say more than none.
I would say that's a better tenure.
So he ranks ahead of Cherington. The only other Penguins general manager with a lower winning percentage than Cherington's 4.11 was EJ, Eddie Johnston, at an even 400 from 83 to 88. But here's the caveat with him, oh, Limitless Wonder.
Who did he draft?
Well, first of all, for one of those years, the Penguins were basically throwing games in order to draft Mario Lemieux, okay? So, and we all remember I have the coach of that team on the record saying he was manipulating games trying to lose. They got Mario. EJ is a hero. Nobody's ever going to call Cherington that. EJ, too, is ahead of Cherington. Is that good logic?
I do want to play devil's advocate.
Please.
Will we look at this in about 10, 15 years? And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, but I guess we can all guess what will happen in 5 years.
Let me answer your question before you ask. No.
Okay.
Paul Skeens? Yeah.
Okay.
No. Now, he's actually one thing that Cherington certainly deserves credit for, because if you remember at the time, a lot of people thought they were going to go for the position player, Dylan Cruz.
It was a 50-50 proposition at the time. It really was. People forget that.
They went for Skeens. But Skeens will be gone at some point, and he will not have won a World Series here like Mario. Mario saved an entire franchise. I don't think Skeens is saving the franchise, as great as he is. I saw Travis Sawchuk tweet the other day something that I mentioned before the season, which is the idea that Paul Skeens is both a blessing and a curse. I think that's the phrase I used. A blessing because he's Paul Skeens and he's awesome, and he's one of the greatest young pitchers maybe in baseball history. A curse because having his presence here as that underscores everything they've done, or more accurately, haven't done to build around him. So while the Pirates were quietly sort of marinating in their own hideousness, now they can't do it quietly because all eyes around baseball are on Skeens. And when they're on Skeens, they're also on the Pirates. And that's very bad for the Pirates.
It's bad for the Pirates, but don't you think it's good for the fan base and it's good for baseball to have an eye on that? To hopefully the Pirates would change something about it? Like, I don't think that they would.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think they would.
Yeah, but they haven't.
But shouldn't it turn up the heat?
Well, what does that have to do with anything? Yes, it should. It hasn't. They got Tommy Pham and Adam Frazier. Everybody's watching the Pirates and wondering what the hell they're doing. And no, Paul Skeens won't have a Mario-like legacy here.
No, he won't.
Because first of all, he won't be here long enough. Second of all, they've done nothing, which tells me they're going to do nothing to build around him. So I put EJ ahead of Ben Cherington. That brings us to the Steelers. And believe it or not, Limits, there's only one Steeler GM who was here for any length of time, 3 or more years, with a lower winning percentage than Cherington.
And going back to 1933.
We're going back, believe it or not, to the Chief, Art Rooney. But let's not get silly here. The Chief appointed himself GM for 7 years upon founding the Steelers in 1933. But to compare the job of an NFL GM then to any type of GM now is more than apples to oranges. It's more of a disparity than that. It's a joke, and I'll give you an example. The first NFL draft in 1933, people like Art Rooney were taking advice from sports writers. Sports writers sat next to the owners at the first NFL draft at the Ritz-Carlton in Philly and advised them on who to take. So,
could you imagine
Ron Cook with the Chief?
Hey, I tell you what, Art, this Bill Shakespeare guy, I know he's a great writer, but he can really play ball too. You got to take him.
Chief, I think Franco Harris would be a great pick. I think Lyne Swin would be a great receiver for you.
Joe Green, extra E on the end. He's mean. He can really, really go at it on the line.
So, that was the case back then. The job is just so different now that even though the Chief had a horrible record as a GM for 7 years, it was too long ago, really, to make a fair comparison. So I can't do that. I'm not putting the Chief below Cherington on this list. I'm not. He was the owner of the team. It'd be like if Nutting was the owner and the GM. Can you imagine that?
It's like me running my wiffle ball league, putting teams together.
Yes.
A little bit different.
Right. So I'm not doing that. And then, and that's it for Penguins and Steelers in all their history. And then we get to the Pirates. And even Dave Littlefield and Cam Bonifay won more than this guy. Even those two. Here's the amazing part. The only Pirates general manager who was here for any length of time, which is, I say, 3 years or more, who won less than Cherington, was one of the most legendary figures in the history of sports. Kind of like the Chief with the Steelers, Branch Rickey. Branch Rickey, the guy who brought Jackie Robinson into Major League Baseball.
Yes.
The guy who won 4 World Series championships running the Cardinals, had a worse winning percentage as a GM here than Ben Cherington. However,
what time frame was that?
There's another caveat here, oh limitless wonder. That was 1951 to 55. It was Ricky's last stop in baseball, at least running a team. He only had a 349 winning percentage. So on one hand, Don't count Charrington out yet. On the other, Branch Rickey beats Charrington on two fronts. One, he delivered one of the great lines in sports history. You got to give him credit for that. The Pirates had just finished last yet again when Ralph Kiner, legendary slugger, objected to a proposed pay cut. And that prompted Branch Rickey to say to him, son, we could have finished last without you. Limits right there. I mean,
yeah, that's a good point. That's fair.
You know, Charrington, I don't even know what he's saying. You know, he makes Kyle Dubas look economical with his words.
Is he going to say that to Paul Skeens? We can finish in last place without you?
He might. I don't know what he's saying. So you got to give him credit for that. But more importantly, and this is what vaults Branch Rickey, despite a 349 winning percentage over five seasons here, this is what vaults him past Charrington on the all-time list of Pittsburgh GMs. He built the core of the 1960 World Series Pirates. Branch Rickey brought Clemente here in the Rule 5 draft. He brought Dick Groat, Bill Mazeroski, Elroy Face, and Vern Law here. That's Clemente. It's the 1960 NL MVP in Groat, the all-time World Series hero in Mazeroski, and two great pitchers. I don't think that Emmanuel Valdez is a building block for the future. Call me crazy.
You don't think so? Or Jack Sawinski?
Yeah,
or Jared Triolo?
Well, he didn't bring Sawinski here, I don't think, did he? But he brought Henry Davis here.
He brought Sawinski here in a trade.
Okay. Well, not Sawinski. So obviously that vaults him past Charrington. He built the core of a world champion. And that leaves Ben Charrington at the very top or the very bottom, however you'd like to view it, Limit. So at least I guess he's won something here, right? He is the worst general manager in the history of Pittsburgh sports, and I don't think that's hyperbole. Thoughts?
Should he deserve a cake for this? Should we
maybe a cake?
Bring him some ice cream, some cupcakes.
The moral of the story for me, or at least where the story leads, is how are they still here? And isn't today the logical day to move on? They're back from St. Louis. Who do they play tomorrow?
Atlanta
coming to town,
and they're starting to catch a little bit of fire, considering they started what 0-7, 0-8.
And this needs to end. I mean, almost mercifully for Shelton and Charrington, it needs to end, and today would be the day that makes sense, because if not now, then when? Then I start to wonder if Bob Dunning is waiting for what? Waiting for Nick Gonzalez and Spencer Horwitz to get here to think, see if things change? Bubba Chandler? Did he guarantee these guys that no matter what, they're going to at least see this season through? This is a monumental disaster that's only getting worse. It's getting worse, and it's getting worse every single day.
Would you like to hear how Spencer Horwitz is doing in the minors right now on his rehab assignment?
Not really, but I sense you're about to tell me.
I am. 4 hits and 24 at-bats. He's hitting 167 with a 481 OPS.
Put him in the cleanup role, Limits. He'll be an improvement.
He's here to save the day.
Who's the other guy I mentioned? Is Gonzalez rehabbing yet?
No, he's not in games yet. I think Noah Hyles told us next week is more likely.
So
after he was injured in the box hitting a home run and was limping around the bases in Miami on opening day.
I forgot about
that.
Is that not symbolic of the season as a whole?
They're just limping to the finish line, Joe. They're limping home. But I agree with you. Like, now that you have eloquently, as well as you did, put it out there with Charrington, I don't think you can say in any other way, because what building blocks are here right now that were drafted other than Skeens? Maybe Connor Griffin is someone we look at.
Chandler, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
But I wasn't even talking about pitching with all of this. I mean, and Chandler looks like he was a great pick. Everybody, if you're going to last, if you're going to be running a baseball team or any sports franchise for 6 years, and you're picking at the top of every round every year, you better have at least one or two great picks. And I know Chandler was beyond the top, but they used their first pick that year, the first pick overall, on Henry Davis.
Yeah, and look, just like how Ricky's tenure, I'm sure when it ended, was looked at as probably the worst ever But since some of those players produce and they won a championship, I'm not saying that Bubba Chandler or Paul Skeens will do that here. I imagine that eventually it might be looked at with a little bit of a brighter light on Charrington, but right now...
What? Why do you say that?
Well, depending on how Skeens, Chandler, Connor Griffin
turn out. We already know
Skeens
is great.
I'm not saying that he's not the worst ever.
So if Connor Griffin turns... What was he? The second pick? The fourth pick?
He was like the seventh or eighth pick.
Okay, another top 10 pick. So if a couple of his top 10 picks, of his many top 10 picks turn out, we view him differently?
Not entirely.
Not at all for me. There's no lipstick to put on the Ben Charrington tenure.
Look, I agree with you. It's the worst tenure that a general manager has had in Pittsburgh sports history.
And there never will be.
Will be a worse one.
There never will be any lipstick to put on the Ben Charrington tenure. I don't think, anyway.
I think the only lipstick that could be put on it is if somebody else comes here, a new general manager, a new manager comes here, and they ultimately end up winning in like the final year that Paul Skeens is here, and they...
So a new general manager winning with Skeens would make the guy who didn't win with Skeens look better?
Well, what you're saying about how Branch Rickey built it all up and the new GM that won the 1960 World
Series,
that's
because he brought in a whole core of young guys that then moved on to win a World Series.
Right. And again, I'm just playing devil's advocate. That bringing in Skeens, bringing in Chandler, bringing in Connor Griffin, that might be a similar light. Again, I'm not saying the Branch Rickey tenure was bad. I'm not saying that the Charrington tenure is not bad. The Charrington tenure has been the worst of any. It might look somewhat different if somebody else comes in and basically rehabs the whole entire thing where you say, oh, well, at least he brought in a couple of guys that made it look a little bit better than it could have been.
How could he not? He's picked in the top 10 every year. Pretty much.
When were a lot of the guys that Branch Rickey
Clemente
picked?
Was Rule 5, one
that
of the greatest
five,
players
yes.
in baseball history. That automatically vaults that move way past anything this guy has done. You or I could have picked Skeens, and I do give him credit because he picked him over Cruz, but let's be honest, you or I could have picked him. It's easy to pick in the top 5 or 10, although you wouldn't know it from his
tenure.
In
no way am I trying to defend the GM here.
I know.
Which I think you know, but I just want to make it clear. It has been absolutely a disaster throughout this 6 years. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. They haven't rebuilt anything that makes you feel confident that this thing is just going to, on the flip of a switch, change. Even if they change the manager, and I have some numbers on him that I think you're going to find fascinating, that our friend Charlie Borges put out there.
I know all the numbers on him of managers who have managed 700 or more games in the majors. I think there's 216, and old Shelty ranks 214. Is that right?
214 with a .410 winning percentage.
Yes.
In 700 games managed. One of the guys managed in the 1870s and another during World War II. And another was one of the expansion managers with San Diego.
Right.
It's just
Preston
unfathomable.
Preston Gomez, I think.
Preston Gomez, 395.
Yeah, we've seen these numbers.
Jimmy Wilson, .401. Derek Shelton, .410 winning percentage.
So what is Bob Nutting waiting for? I just don't understand, and I get it. He doesn't want to pay people not to work, but he could just turn, you know, inward to the organization to find replacements anyway for now. Ben Charrington doesn't deserve to run another draft. They've lost 7 in a row and 9 of 10. The season has careened out of control. It's time. And I know there are arguments like, what's the use now? It's just going to get worse. Just have Shelty, you know, manage out the year and then look. No, man, it's at some point, there has to be some accountability. And even if the guy at the head of the table is the main cause by far for all of this, there has to be some accountability with the other two main jobs in the organization. There just has to be.
And the fact that it hasn't happened today means it's probably not going to happen for another week.
Well, let's see. Today is a little bit young yet. We're not even to noon yet. Oh, limitless wonder.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Talking about the Pirates imploding before our very eyes, wondering if today would be the day with a day off here. Start anew tomorrow with a new manager and general manager. But we're creeping toward noon and nothing has happened. So we're talking about Ben Cherington as perhaps, and I would say is, the worst general manager in the history of Pittsburgh sports. I went through all of that. What amazes me is that some people still give this guy a free pass. And I've never commented underneath a column that I wrote. The comment section is always interesting to read, Limits. But I've never responded to any of them until today. A guy named Bill says essentially blaming Cherington is like blaming a German infantry soldier for World War II. And someone under that says that's true. It's hard to evaluate Cherington in the middle of a dumpster fire. No, it's not. As I've mentioned a million times, and as the story mentioned, the team owner is far and away the person to blame here, above all. Indisputable. Everybody on the planet agrees with that. But that doesn't mean that the GM gets a free pass. There's still plenty of blame left for the GM. And it's such a simple argument to make. Neil Huntington, under similar financial constraints, won here. End of argument, I win. Lots of other small payrolls in Major League Baseball have won and win. End of argument. So I'm just sort of startled sometimes by people's inability to hold more than one idea in their head at once. Both things can be true. Bob Dunning is by a million miles the main culprit here, and he's the one who hired Cherington, and Cherington can be independently evaluated. First of all, you say you want to give Cherington a free pass. He came here. He's a smart guy. He came here knowing the constraints. The Pirates' financial history is pretty easy to ascertain if you have a computer. He knew what he was getting himself into. And then secondly, the guy before him won. Now, he flamed out at the end, but he got the Pirates to the playoffs 3 straight years. And yes, they didn't get far, but I would argue in any of those years, if they win the wild card game, they were built to go much further. 95, certainly. Those were good baseball teams. So please don't tell me that get some sort of free pass here because of the handcuffs he has on him. Make do. There isn't one player that he developed that's in their batting order who's any good. He's been here for 6 years. Hold two ideas at once if possible. 412-928-9370. Meanwhile, it almost feels like it would be merciful toward Shelton to move on from him at this time.
He has aged like 30 years in the last six.
Yeah, those before and after presidential photos from, you know, across history. He's aging at 10 times that rate. I mean, this is almost cruel and unusual. Let's hear from Shelty after the game last night. It seems like he's out of answers.
I don't know if the poor guy's hair can get any grayer right now.
Let's hear it.
Shelty, what can you take away from a quality start from Mitch today?
Yeah, I thought Mitch threw the ball well. I mean, they scored a run on, you know, Scott was moving on a single, and we're talking about one of the faster guys in the game, and then ground ball down the line in a jam shot. But I thought overall he had really good stuff.
What did you see from Sonny Gray today?
Ability to execute the ball to both sides of the plate. Sinker and the cutter look like they're working. I mean, I know he hasn't been as sharp as of late, but I think this is the guy we saw earlier in the year.
What kind of adjustments do you feel like you guys could have made against Sonny?
I think that's a tough one today because of the fact that he executed and we really couldn't get anything going.
Shelton, the way the season has started, either you or the team, however you want to answer it, how do you keep your head up?
I mean, we just have to. We got to figure out a way to get through this.
What's the message to the team to get through this?
I think right now that's what we're working through. I wish I had a good answer for that.
Offensively, you know, still kind of trying to look for answers as to how to just kind of adequately provide support, you know, for the starting pitchers, you know, Paul yesterday and Mitch today.
Yeah, I mean, we got to score runs. I mean, we're throwing the ball well, and we're not getting anything to show for it.
Oh, boy. So the message to the team is I'm trying to figure that out right
there,
now.
There is no message.
I guess he's right. There's nothing to say. There's nothing to say here anymore. It's like the end of any relationship. It's just like, yeah, there's pretty much nothing left to say.
If you were listening to your radio and just taking a shot every time you hear Derek Shelton say, we need to be better, we need to hit, we need to do this, you would be drunk by this point in the season.
They're throwing the ball well. During this time in which they've lost, let's see, they were 8-12, which means they're 4-14 or 4-16, something like that. In that stretch, they've lost games 10-7, 8-4, 9-2, 9-0, 8-3, 9-4, 6-3, and 5-0. If that's throwing the ball well, I'd hate to see it if they weren't throwing it well, Limits. What, would they be giving up 20 runs a game?
Apparently, yeah, it'd be a free-for-all.
Throwing the ball well? What?
Falter has an ERA over 5. Keller has been just okay.
He hasn't even been that. They're giving up. Their starting pitching's dropped to the bottom half of the league, hasn't it? And it's not like the bullpen has been stellar. When you're giving up 10, 8, 9, 9, 8, 9, 4, 6, 5 in a stretch of games, you're not throwing the ball well. Although, compared to their hitting, you know, they're the 92 Atlanta Braves with the way they're throwing the ball.
They are last in all of baseball in runs scored per game. Would you like to guess how many runs scored per game they average?
2.5?
Wrong.
I like
Wrong.
That.
Yep.
I do like that.
You like how I got you back
yes,
there?
Yes, you tell me.
3.1. They're averaging 3 runs per game.
Limits, I read yesterday where, how many times have they been shut out? 7?
Well,
6?
I think it's just gone up to 7, yeah.
Okay, what's the all-time record? 33, I believe. You're the beat writer. Can you look it up? Well, guess what the record is. Guess which team has the record. Wrong.
I'm going to guess the...
Wrong. It's the St. Louis Cardinals.
1962 Mets. Nope.
No, that would be a good guess, actually. I think the record's 33.
It is. By the 1908 St. Louis Cardinals.
Ron Cook covered that team.
He did.
Little known fact, he moved to St. Louis for a year.
That was after he covered the Pirates in the 1903 World Series.
That's right. And he covered the Cardinals in later years. Mark McGuire was a great home run hitter. And listen to this, Limits. Listen
to this. Man, he was great.
Listen to this, Limits. Listen. They're on pace to do that. Are they not? Divide 7 by 30. How many games have they played? Huh? 36?
No, they've played 38.
So 7 divided by 38 equals 18.4 times 162. They're on pace for to be shut out 30 times.
They're getting close. They could approach it.
Should they celebrate like they did getting the first pick a couple years ago?
Should they throw a parade like the 0-16 Browns did around the stadium?
No, they should celebrate the way they did after getting the first pick a few years ago.
Remember how excited they were when they got the Paul Skeens pick? That video that they posted? Right. A lot of people use that as a meme now.
Yeah, I mean...
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Listen, I get it. You won the draft lottery to get him or Cruz at the time, you're thinking, and that was awesome. But for the manager to be in there clapping with the team executives, like, hooray, I took us to the very bottom of the league. What are we doing? Limits.
I never thought about it that way.
It reminded me of McClendon, I think, one year. They busted out the champagne when they won, like, their 75th game or some strange thing like that.
Did he bring the base with him that he stole from first?
What a great moment that was. I was with my friend Vince Pallotta, and I went to get ice cream, and I missed the whole thing. The last thing I saw was McClendon descending into the dugout holding the base.
When Miles Garrett swung the helmet at Mason Rudolph in that game on a Thursday night, I realized that the game was over, so I left the room to get a couple of things. I had to drive back up to college because I came home to watch the game with my dad, and he just starts yelling, "Get in here! Get in here! Look what just happened!" I'm like, "What the hell just happened?"
I almost missed that, too, and I was covering the game because, you know, you want to get down to the locker room on time, and I was about to leave, and then that happened. You might say it changed my column for the next day, Limits. Do we have anybody who wants to weigh on this, or has apathy set in with the callers as well?
I think a lot of apathy has set in, but some people are saying that the Pirates need torpedo bats, which I don't think
some of them already have them, don't they?
They
or
do.
Did they miss the shipment on that?
It might be a little bit late. It might have got stolen like the Yager bobbleheads did. Someone else said that. You didn't like the Yager bobblehead comment?
I did. It was good. I think things are funny and I laugh inside.
Oh, but just not on the outside. The Pirates are right there with the Washington Senators and the St. Louis Browns, one texter says. How about that? The St. Louis Browns.
Never want to be with them. Yeah. The St. Louis Browns.
No. A couple
Anything
of people
else?
Ripped me for my defense of Charrington that wasn't meant as a defense of Charrington.
No, but it sounded like one.
It did, and I didn't mean it that way because there's no defending what this last 6 years has been.
Let's hear somebody rip you just for the heck of it. I always like that.
Somebody says, this is some argument from Austin on Charrington. Somebody else says that I was backtracking because I said something stupid. And that's all you needed to do to begin with. I said,
this is karma for you after calling Bob's opinion ridiculous yesterday.
I said, no. Like, obviously, I'm not trying to say that Charrington at all has done a good job because he has not.
I know. Don't make the point again.
I will not.
You'll just dig the hole deeper.
And I said, no. Joe just didn't understand what I was saying.
Yes. Well, there you go. Another underhanded shot at me.
And to be fair, I don't know if I understood what I was saying.
Yeah. Well, that's, again, what I love about you, your ability to laugh at yourself.
I'll admit when I'm wrong and
yeah.
when I say something stupid about myself.
Nobody undermines a Limits argument like Limits himself.
Well.
It really does.
If you're not going to do it, somebody else has to, apparently.
So are you feeling emboldened today by your attack on Bob? Or how would you describe the inner feeling when you woke up today?
No feeling at all.
Yeah?
We're good. I think it's just something that you are trying to spark potentially more.
Me? The texters were all over you
yeah,
yesterday.
Yeah, but Bob and I both equally said at the same time.
And plus, I think it really resonated with the other host. Did Crowley mention this to you this morning?
Briefly.
What did he say?
He thought that my argument that Drew Aller is better than Will Howard.
I don't care about that. It's your attack on Bob that's the news
here.
He
was surprised that I went at it with Bob. But yeah. He thought that it was kind of brave of me to do so.
Dickerson or Bostick say anything?
Dickerson did not say anything. Pat Bostick thought that... He didn't really say anything about the way that me and Bob went at it, but he does think that Will Howard is a better quarterback.
And how about Harry Callis? Did he register
an opinion?
No
comment from Harry.
He hasn't made many of those lately, has he? All right. Where do we go from here? You tell us, Limits. I can't wait for our next guest, if only I knew who it was.
Garrett Padel of CBS Sports will join us.
Oh, I like him.
Yes,
and
he's
like
joined us before.
His stuff.
He is the one that had the interview with Travis Hunter before the draft where Hunter said, if I don't play both ways, I will threaten to quit playing football.
This guy's very good at what he does. I want to get his reaction to the Pickens trade. In fact, the noon hour is going to be dedicated to that because there was a wide, and I mean wide, range of reaction to George Pickens going to the Cowboys. Everything from, wow, look at the genius of Mike Tomlin again. He gets these guys, gets the most out of them. And then he deals them at the perfect time, to which I was going to reply to the guy on Twitter who wrote that last night, some analytics guy, but I didn't because I didn't feel like getting in a firestorm. I was going to write to him, subtweet, don't forget about the time in Pittsburgh when these receivers implode and contribute to the ruination of seasons, and then the team moves on from them before their second contract and is constantly chasing the position and is still short even as we speak in the receiver room. Don't forget about that part while you're lauding Tomlin for his genius on receivers. My God, Limits. Who are you talking to now that's not on
Pony,
the radio show with
that,
me?
Pony, who said that he could beat me in an argument with two hands behind his back very easily the other day. And I said, and he claims that it was a joke. Pony, you claimed it was a joke. That doesn't really sound like a joke
air.
To me.
Pony, let's get Pony's reaction to your attack on Bob, because this is resounding through Pittsburgh radio.
The reaction to
Andrew
Bob
Filippone
and I going
enters
back and
the
forth.
Building. A lot of people were alarmed, taken aback.
Alarmed.
With Limits attacking basically the Godfather and calling his opinion ridiculous.
Was it attacking or was it
Andrew,
just good old family banter back and forth
you
between
sent,
two people on the radio?
No, you sent Bob reeling with that. And it was the talk of the town and certainly the station, yes?
I thought it upstaged all the picking stuff yesterday.
Oh, yeah, did it?
So did I.
I thought the same thing listening to you guys.
I said it at the time that we now have a new topic. What did you make?
His face turned beet red. On the YouTube screen, I heard Bob's I'm talking
Bob's,
about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Bob got, that was not like fake angry or angry for show or for fun. That was legitimately a man who's probably the most successful sportscaster in this city's history getting very mad that you, a 24-year-old, called him out for an opinion.
Okay, so if Joe would have called him out, then you think it would have been different.
100%.
So you're saying that he has a lot more respect for Joe than me, which I think is fair, but why are you denigrating my age in this?
Well, because you haven't.
You said it yourself.
You don't have the
yesterday.
Credentials or resume. It's not that you disagreed with him. It was the way in which you disagreed with him.
How are you supposed to build up those credentials and resume then?
I don't know. You can have a healthy back and forth with the guy without name calling and bashing him.
I didn't call him ridiculous. I called the take ridiculous.
I don't know.
It's like when Ron.
I kind of admired the spunk
of
this
guy.
Oh, so do I. You know?
It reminded me of myself, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, he'll go
I
after anybody.
I saw some of you and me.
Well, there we go. Some people will think that's a bad thing. I consider it a good thing.
I mean, I didn't appreciate you reading that text about me playing a certain instrument on the air yesterday, but that's okay.
I did not read it yesterday.
What?
You didn't hear that?
It was like a week ago. The fact that you're just hearing about it now.
One we can't name?
Well, he was about to read a word.
And I figured.
And then he stopped himself.
I am not allowed to say
that. He started the word so people knew what the word was.
That you were a flute player
yes.
at one point.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I didn't realize carrying the that crux one of that joke.
Oh, yes, you did.
I honestly
what,
did
are you
not.
Born yesterday?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, come on now.
This guy is a living embodiment of it's easier to beg for forgiveness than ask for permission. I mean, he's testing the boundaries
You've
of,
also
of sports
completely
radio.
Backed off your... The reason why Bob won that argument is because you backpedaled faster than Deion Sanders on your Allard take.
That is not
yes,
even close
it is.
To true.
You said, and Bob was right to call you out for it. You said, well, if he shows it this year, and Bob said, well, anybody could show it this year. And then you, I think, Joe, like pressed him on it. Like, is he going to be a good quarterback or not? And you said, he might be if he plays well this year.
And I said, yes, I do think he's going to be a really good quarterback.
Yes, but it took you saying if he plays well this year and also admitting that he has sucked in big games. It was like the least compelling persuasive argument I'd ever heard.
Well, that's your opinion.
I think it's the opinion of many.
Tell him you think it's a ridiculous opinion like Bob's.
Yeah, it is very ridiculous.
Here we go again.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Andrew.
You're welcome.
We're 6 minutes over time.
I know. Garrett Padel is currently calling me trying to wonder what's going on now, and I have to tell him that
it's a little delay of game penalty.
The show can go long.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.